You know, they say that a rough rehearsal will make for a good performance. Have you ever heard that? They say if you're in the theater and somebody's getting ready to go on stage, if you say good luck, it's actually bad luck. You're supposed to say break a leg. Have you heard them say that? They say if your palm itches, you're going to come into money. My mom told me that when I was a kid. All I've ever discovered that is when my palm itches, I have been in the poison ivy somewhere. Who is this they? They say this, they say that. They say that if you do something, you should knock on wood. That's what they say. They say you're supposed to throw salt over your shoulder. I don't know what that's for, and I don't carry salt around, and I've always felt remiss. I don't know what to do about it. All of these things, and this is what they say. I worked with in an engineering department in the city of Grand Junction, and the secretary, she had arthritis. So one day she said, oh, I feel so much better. She was spraying WD-40 on her joints and rubbing it in, and it worked. She felt better. She didn't realize it was the rubbing, massaging that was doing it, and that the WD-40 was actually a pollutant. But that's another story. They say that WD-40 works for that, so you have to be aware of. This is my push against they says and the things. Before I was appointed here in this lovely place, that I was in Johnstown, Colorado. One day I got an email and said, quick, go buy gasoline. They're going to run out of gasoline in the next, 48 hours. There's going to be some kind of problem or whatever. And I thought, what in the world? And I happened to drive past where the gas station, cars lined up for miles to try and get into the gas station. There was never a shortage. There was never something. But somewhere, someone, some they had said, and the word had spread like a flame, like a fire through dry grass. They say this, they say that. Our entire society is getting wrapped up with they say this, they say that. Misinformation, lies, stolen elections, all of the different things that they say. And we have to be careful and pause. Are you like me and a part of you wants that everything that is reported in the newspapers or on television or radio has to be very verifiably true? There's a part of me that just wants that to be a law. But a man by the name of Ben Franklin instilled in me a different view of things. He was a printer. I don't know if you knew that. The Poor Man's Almanac, some of the other things, but he did a lot of printing, a lot of newspaper work, and he printed under some aliases with various things that he did. And he was attacked, libeled, slandered, all kinds of things. And he says, it drives me crazy. He says, but I will defend the freedom of the press to my dying breath. He said, the truth will out. The truth will out. Jesus said it differently. He said, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Amen? Truth. So when you're thinking about what they say, find out what he said. Just focus on the truth that will out and focus on Christ. There was this pool in Bethesda. We heard about that. Bella did a great job telling us about this pool. That pool, by the way, goes back to the 8th century before the birth of Christ. So that pool had been there a long time. The pool is still in existence. They've found it. It's quite deep. They think it might have originally been some sort of a water supply. Don't know for sure. But they say that when the water was troubled, if you were the first person into the water, after the water was troubled, you understand the word troubled is a different way of saying a ripple runs across the water. Have you ever been set just meditating, relaxing by a very still pool, and something will, the water, there'll be a ripple that will run across the water and you're not sure what it came from? That's called being troubled. The water's troubled. And if in that next instant, in this pool at Beth's Bethesda. If you were the first one into the pool, you would receive a blessing, and if you were ill, you would be cured. That's what they'd said. Now, I don't know who they are. How did that start? There's no history. There's no way to run this backwards. But there were many who were there at the pool. The ill, the lame, the blind, the paralyzed invalids. And you have to understand that we're talking about a group of sinners. In that day and age, if you got sick, it was because you had sinned and you were being punished. If I sneeze, what is the common response? Try and cast out the sin. Bless you. Gesundheit, yeah? That's where God bless you comes from. It is because you've sinned, you're sick, and if we can cast out the sin, you'll be cured. So all of these people gathered there at the pool, they're all desperate sinners, and you can tell how badly they'd sinned by how badly they were impacted, how ill they were, how invalid they were. And Jesus goes to them. Now, if you were a good Jew, you did not hang around with sinners. You know, my mama used to tell me, don't hang around with those bad people. It was always interesting to try and define the bad people. She always wanted to know who my friends were. You understand that. We all understand some of what's going on there. But you don't want to hang around with some of the troublemakers. They might be a bad influence. In high school, it might have been that people didn't want to hang around with me because, well, no, we won't go down that road too far. But Jesus goes to this group of sinners, invalids, the paralyzed, the sick, the ones that certainly must have sinned horribly because of their terrible infirmities. Suppose he didn't know. You suppose it was just an accident? He was just out touring and someone had said, hey, you ought to see this beautiful pool. And he just kind of chanced onto them. I don't believe that for a second, do you? There was none of that about what Jesus was about. This was about an issue of justice. Justice. And even if they were all sinners and that was causing their afflictions, even if that was true, here is the one who can redeem anyone. Now, if this is your first visit with us or you haven't been around and haven't heard all the sermons in the last 6-8 weeks, I did a sermon sometime in the past about this very bad guy. Any of you remember who it was? Saul of Tarsus. Remember him? He was a very bad guy. He persecuted Christians. He got a letter so that he could go chase Christians. He loved picking on Christians. He was really bad people. Christ redeemed him. Christ brought him back. Changed his name. He is Paul. This very bad guy. Who cannot be redeemed? So we go back to the pool. And here's this man who's been trying to get in the pool for 38 years. Can you imagine that? His only real hope of cure, I mean, in that day and age, medicine was not. And so here he is, and he's waiting to get in the pool, but whenever the pool is troubled and they see it, someone jumps in before him. He just can't get down there fast enough. He can't quite make it, and I don't know if it is a matter of who was placed where and which people had better access and perhaps help. But we know there's some issues of justice around that too, don't we? Have you ever had to go to the DMV? And you sit in there and you take a number and you sit in there and you sit in there. I have never seen John Elway in there. I have never seen famous rich people in there. How come that is? Do you suppose that Julia Roberts has to take a number and sit in the DMV? I don't know. I may be just casting stones where it's not fair to do so, but I bet they have a method and someone who can do that as a proxy so you don't stir up the people or something like that. I don't know. And maybe I'd like to figure out how I can make it work for me, wouldn't you? I love sitting at the DMV. our United Methodist Conference. Keith Merriman was my first full-time appointment. He was a senior pastor. I was the associate. Fort Morgan, Colorado. Wonderful man. And he had been in the ministry since he graduated from college. One of his first appointments was in Aspen, Colorado. And he tells some lovely stories about that, traveling up there. But they have a parsonage in Aspen. Now, if you're not familiar with the United Methodist system, some churches buy a home and they set it aside for the pastoral family. So you don't have to pay rent. The church provides that as part of your compensation and helps you to survive. And then if you are moved, you simply move from one church-owned home to another. And it was the standard system of the time. But the church owned a private residence in Aspen. The next door neighbor was Cher's residence. You know, Cher, Sonny and Cher. So you can imagine Keith being in his backyard mowing his lawn and looking over the fence, and there would be Cher's gardener mowing her lawn. Somehow I doubt we would ever see Cher mowing a lawn, do you? There's something about that. There's something about how there are different ways to be and how we are to live. DuPont's going to graduate with honors. I don't know which colleges she's applied to. I hope she is accepted. She certainly has merits, doesn't she? Merits of intelligence. We're realizing that the system has gotten a little bit twisted, that there are some who are being admitted on the merits of their parents' wealth. And that's an issue of justice, is it not? So we need to name some of these. This is Peace with Justice Sunday. And injustices are around us, and we need to recognize those and figure out where we might be able to plug in and where we might be able to apply ourselves. There are injustices based around how much money you have. There are injustices around race and ethnicity. There are injustices around educational levels. There are injustices around gender. And those are being confronted harder and harder, which is good. There are injustices based on your medical insurance, your insurability, and your medical ability to be accountable. And that's frightening. And that's tragic. There are injustices around age and aging. I was tempted to just stop and set up at some tables and just have an open discussion this morning upon what injustices we see around us and how we might apply ourselves, where we might plug in and where we might be about that. And that may be something that needs to be done, but that isn't as much worship as that is doing the will and the work of the Lord, which we'll do when we leave here. Here is the man of Bethesda, 38 years at this pool. Boy, talk about a routine. He's been doing it for his generations. And Jesus sees him and walks up to him and says, "Do you want to be made well?" On the cover of it, it's just asking him, but it's a fully loaded question. It's a loaded question because we have to ask the question about the injustices in our life. Do we want to see them corrected? Or is the system, it's not right, but it's stable, and let's just not disrupt the peace. In the 80s, when I was beginning ministry, a fella said to me, he says, "This whole issue about human sexuality," he said, "we shouldn't talk about it in the church. It just disrupts people. Let's just not talk about it." I understood exactly what he was thinking, but I understood also that justice and injustice has to be something that sometimes disrupts things. So Jesus turns to the man and says, "Do you want to be well?" And of course, he gives them the response. I try to get in the water, you know, and as soon as I see a trouble, I try and get up, but somebody always beats me to it. And Jesus takes all of the they out of it, takes the pool out of it, takes the myth out of it that they say. Jesus said, take up your mat and walk. And the man does so. I would love to hear the rest of that story. I would love to hear what the man did after having laid invalid for 38 years. What's going to happen next? His life just got turned upside down. It's what we need to be thinking about with some of our injustices in our society. Some things are going to get turned up and down. At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. We don't hear it in between there, but between Jesus saying, do you want to be made well? Stand up and take your mat. Something must have happened. Did he believe in Jesus? Was it that miracle? Something occurred there. Something life-giving. Something about justice. So the man gave up 38 years of routine. It's the way we've always done it. It's just the way things are. Today I'll get up and go to the pool again and wait and hang around there. But for 38 years, and now it's all different. And Jesus is in the midst of that, in the midst of being about justice. And he calls us to that repeatedly. Love your neighbors as I have loved you. Because he's about injustice and about confronting it. You see, don't forget that this passage ended, this whole story, everything that Bella read, the last thing in there is Jesus did this on the Sabbath. It was unlawful to do any work on the Sabbath. It was unlawful to perform even miracles on the Sabbath. They say you're not supposed to. And Jesus stands in the midst of all of the they-says and offers truth. May we hear that truth, and may it inspire us, and may we be inspired to bring about change. Amen? Amen. Amen.